What's good, everybody? It's your boy Hans.
And it's Tristan.
Welcome to the Hans and Tristan podcast. Thank you for joining us for yet another great and fun episode. Tristan, how are you doing, ma'am?
I am doing wonderful. It don't feel like a Sunday, but I'm doing wonderful.
Oh, you know what? I totally agree with you. I don't know why, but it does not feel like a Sunday.
It doesn't.
And I can't even tell you what day it feels like, though. But it doesn't feel like a Sunday.
At this point, all of my days are blurred together. So happy Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, happy week. Yeah, it's wild. It's wild out here. So we're going to jump right into the show. We're going to start out by shouting out these young ladies, these kids exuding Black excellence. So I want to shout out two in particular. The first one I do want to shout out is a nine-year-old by the name of Victoria Brinker. She was on America's Got Talent and she was singing, and she has kind of an opera style type of voice, and she sounds like a full-grown adult at 9 years old. It really reminds me of like Michael. Remember young Mike, how he sounded so grown and his voice was so mature for his age? So apparently she received like the golden buzzer, where like all the judges gave her like top billing, which has never been done before. So I definitely want to shout her out. Also, another Black young lady. Shout out to our Black girls, man. Doing
Black
great
girl magic.
Shout out to our Black girls out here. This young lady is 14 years old, by the name of Zayla Avant-Garde of Louisiana. She was the first Black person, child, to win the Scripps Spelling Bee. And also, she is noted to be a basketball prodigy and very intelligent and excelling in school. So we wanted to shout out these two Black girls, Black kids, on this day, because Black excellence should always be put up on a pedestal, because we don't get enough shine out here in these streets, especially y'all, Black ladies.
You already know. I know. But let me tell you something. Congratulations to both of these young ladies. But that spelling bee, as someone who has ADHD and dyslexia and all this, spelling bees ain't no joke, bro. Like, it's,
yo.
Have you ever watched a spelling bee?
Like, yes.
They're passing out and shit.
Yeah.
Like, that shit
this
ain't
is actually
for the faint of heart.
Yeah, this is the year I missed it, but last year I watched it, the year before I watched it, so
I
tuned in.
Intense.
It's stressful.
Let me tell you, and then also it lets me know my vocabulary is trash.
Not at all.
Okay? My vocabulary, no wonder I didn't do well on the SAT. My vocabulary is garbage, because they be saying words, I'm like, is that, what is that?
That's a word?
Exactly.
No, so that is a fact. That is a fact, seriously. Like, and I remember years ago I posted on Facebook, like, don't judge me, I'm watching Spell and Be on ESPN. But like, this thing is literally a sport of the mental attitude, like the amount of stress that they have to go through, the amount of preparation and studying. I really feel bad for these kids when it gets down to like a whole 10 to 12 of them, because like you said, you can see them like just nervous and shaking. But what I do like, though, and which I appreciate, that we don't really see often in the sports arena, especially when it comes to kids, is that they come together. Like, they support each other when they're out there. They hype each other up when they get the word. Like, you see them high-fiving each other. Like, it is great to see that part of it, because it shows you the innocence of a kid and they're not so wound up in the competition, which we adults put on them. But
That's all us. That's all we do. Because they just there to have fun. And half of them probably don't even want to be there any goddamn way, if we're being honest.
Right. So it's just great. But I want to ask you a question as a parent who is very, very, very honed and keen in on the importance of education. How proud does it make you feel as a parent to not only see your kids excel, but push the barriers beyond what's expected of them? Like, what does that do for you as a parent?
That is the biggest ego boost you will ever have in your entire life. Like, because it's different when it's just you, right? But when you can kind of like transfer your excellence into another human being and help them grow. Like that is super amazing. And I totally love it. So at the end of the day, like, you know, when Genesis was valedictorian, it was great. So I came and I was like, who ain't sitting in the front row? Who ain't got the perks and the privileges? You can't tell me nothing. Like, no, like what? I can't clap. My baby valedictorian, I do what I want to do. So it is very much an ego boost. It definitely helps. It kind of confirms you're doing a good job as a parent, because sometimes you don't even know where you stand until mm-hmm. you see your child perform. And not to say that just because they're doing good in sports or whatever, that means that you're a good parent, because that could be natural talent too. And it doesn't take away from the work that the children do. But right. as a parent, I ain't gonna lie, I take credit for my child. Like I said, when you graduate, your shit need to say Genesis and Tristan on that motherfucker, okay? Because we did this together.
Got you.
But it's a good
yeah. No, and I couldn't help but think of their parents. Just like the pride that they get seeing their child up there representing, you know, not only themselves, like you said, but also really the family, right? And the values and customs and traditions that come with that household. So when we're out in the field seeing our families, you know, that's one of kind of like the sayings I would use is, you know, when you leave that house, you know, your family's name's on your back. That's who you're representing. So yes, you're your own individual, you're your own self, but you represent the people that you're connected to, which is, you know, 9 times out of 10, your family. So I could just imagine the joy that these parents are seeing. And I hope and pray, because I really don't know the familial history and interactions of these two young ladies. I just hope and pray that their family is insulated and protective, and also have genuine and honest ambitions for these kids, and are not using them to propel their own individual endeavors, which we see often in the arena of sports, right?
Not even sports, the whole Disney Channel era.
That's true. Like, yes, entertainment as well.
That. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's and again, and that's where the fine line comes in. It's like you have to be able to support your child, but not live through your child. And that is a very, very hard balance, because sometimes we think we know what's best for them, and we presume that they're good at something that we should keep pushing, but just because they're good at something don't mean they like it.
Right.
And we have Facts. To allow them to give that feedback and have that input, because I don't care how successful they are. If they're miserable, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So just continue to be in tune. And think about it like this. We talked about Miss Richardson last time, and she was 21, and the pressure she felt just running. Imagine these little 9 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
You're in front of the world and performing in front of the world. Imagine that amount of pressure as a child. So if you don't have a strong support system, you will give in to certain pressures. Period. Point. But I don't care who you are, and I don't care what background you come from.
No, and that's a fact. That's a fact. And also, we have to take into account the context of these families that they're living in, right? So Black people, we're not afforded certain privileges or certain levels in socioeconomic world speaking. So oftentimes, these kids are viewed, I hate to say it, but as a meal ticket, as a way out of the situation. And there is added pressure to excel and perform in the arena in which you're talented in. So I do agree with you that there is that fine line that parents often have to straddle and juggle with, because, yo, this kid does have this natural talent. But like you said, is it something that they really love? Am I willing to sacrifice their childhood, which we've seen, right? Think about what's going on with Britney Spears right now with her battle and her
confederacy. The whole R. Kelly situation and all those.
Yeah, exactly. So we're seeing that. So people are willing. Often parents are too quick to sacrifice the childhood and well-being of their kids so they could garner this success, not realizing that this monetary and, you know, famous, this critical acclaim only gets you so far. It's only a small segment of your life. So are you willing to sacrifice your child's mental health, well-being, their childhood, just so you can get up out the hood? You get what I mean? So it's really a lot. And with these children, I was talking to my wife, like, I kind of wonder where life will take them, especially Zalea, because she's talented in multiple areas, mm-hmm. right?
So they get money when they win at Spelling Bee.
Yes, definitely. Endorsement, sponsorship. So it's just going to be interesting to see, as I'm pretty sure she will be tracked from this day on as to what she does, as to what lane she chooses. Because the reality of the situation is, although she is a prodigy in basketball, women's WNBA, they don't get paid that much. So
no, half of them got part-time jobs.
Yeah. No,
like the average salary was like $40,000. What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the minimum for an NBA player is $2 million, $3 million, something like that.
Right.
So yeah, the disparity is huge. No, what most people don't know is WNBA players pull double duty. What that means is, like Tristan says, they either have a part-time job or they play NBA, WNBA season, and then they go play overseas during the WNBA off season. So they're literally playing basketball all year round.
Think about it. They're still women. So half of them still have families, still have children, still, like, it's just like, oh my goodness. Like, don't get me started because we're about to go on a whole.
Yeah, yeah. This is not where we're going.
Because you know, the feminist in me is just like, oh, hell to the naw. Like,
I know, it's brimming.
It is. Girl, simmer down.
Right. Bring it down. Bring it back. Bring it back.
But I feel what you're saying. And also understanding that, you know, like as women, it's imperative to encourage and support one another. And that's why we see, like you say, just seeing the other kids support each other and applaud and high five, like that's genuine support. And at some point it kind of teeters off when it gets into adulthood. And I think we need to kind of get back to that. But adults, we ain't competing in a lot of shit as we get older anyway. Like, but I did just order the trap spelling bee. So I wasn't good at spelling. I wasn't good at spelling in Sister Joe's class in eighth grade. However, I might win a trap spelling bee. I'm kind of proud of myself. So I'll let you know if I bring home the gold.
Okay, let me know. Yeah, man. So shout out to these young ladies. And I also want to shout out one other person, Tristan. I'm sorry to throw a curveball at you. But Paige Becker, she's an athlete and she won the ESPYs, right, for best overall female athlete. And I want to give her credit. She's a white woman. But in her speech, she basically shouted out black women who don't get credit. And she honestly, which was shocking to me, said, I wouldn't be here without them. So they have to, like, to see a white woman put a black woman first was very, very, very odd, which is sad to say. But she understood how black women paved the way for her sport. And she's a WNBA player. And she basically broke down the numbers and saying that these women are 80%, 85 to 90% dominating the sport, but only get 40% of the coverage. Doesn't make sense. So she basically bigged up black women. So I do want to shout her out since we're shouting out black women out here in this first part of the show. So I want to shout her out for understanding the moment and putting it in perspective, especially what's going on with who you mentioned, Sha'Carri Richardson, how she won't be able to participate in the Olympics, period, now. Something she's worked for years and only comes around every 4 years. So
because this ain't a setup for a comeback. That's all that is. A setup for a comeback.
Boom. So definitely want to shout out these women out here doing great things and letting us know that their light will not be dimmed.
Shout out to our non-melanated sisters who
definitely.
Yeah, I can't talk too much shit because I'm fairly close to not.
I was about to say you straddling that line now.
Well, I'm about to go touch up this tan, okay? I'm finna touch up this tan because it's fading a smidge.
You and this tan. Lord.
Listen, Airbus ain't naturally, you know, chocolate.
Somebody get a tan 1 week and she don't know how to act.
I'm honey roasted almond. You can't.
I was about to say.
I'm going to roast almond times two in about a week. Just wait.
Okay. Shout out to you. Shout out to you. Show off your tan, girl.
Shout out to me and my 100% sunblock. SPF.
Right. 100. Yes. Drench yourself in that. All right. So we got the greatness out the way. Now we got to address the foolishness.
Oh, Lord.
We got to address the foolishness. So Miami native, Trick Daddy, and I think he's Haitian too. That's unfortunate. Miami native, Trick Daddy has made the social media headlines again. Last time he was on there for hating on Beyonce.
Like, if you ain't gonna drop an album, then what you talking about? Because I ain't gonna front his music to be litty. But if you ain't dropping an album, what we talking about, Trick?
Listen, man, he need to just be appreciative of his radio lane. He has a radio station he's on all the time. He has a platform.
I heard he cooked like a motherfucker. He got like food.
Yeah, he has a food. Yeah. He has a restaurant. So, like, just enjoy the blessings that you still have. And
you know what it is. It's like when people get to a position where they like like peak, right? And they begin to decline. Like, yes, the career, but mentally they still feel like they're at that peak where they are. And it's like, nah, player, because if I go ask this new generation out here who Trick is, they're gonna be like, who? Now the funny thing is they know who Trina is though.
Facts. So, but it's, I agree with you though. You're right. That mind, and they don't know how to switch kind of like the gears. So I like to use Jay-Z as an example. He kind of realized, look, this younger generation ain't feeling me, so I'm gonna switch to making music for the generation that feels me. But also he switched, like, yo, it's time to just focus on getting this money and making these business moves rather than the acclaim. Like, that doesn't always garner you the money you think it does. Right, so let's just make business moves.
Doesn't really give you the money. Sometimes being behind the scene, you make more money.
There you go. And I think Trick is struggling with that, maybe.
That's the difference between people who like progress and those who like attention. Some people just like the attention. They don't care about the money. They don't care about they just want the attention. I'm like, motherfucker, you ain't got a nigga give me attention. Just give me the money.
I was thinking somebody else who might fit that bill. Joe Buttons, maybe.
Oh, Joey.
Maybe. I don't know. But anyway.
I don't know where he stands. I just think he's arrogant.
I agree.
Where he really stands, though. I don't know if he likes the attention or if he likes or he just likes shitting on people. Like, I don't know with him. And then when I don't know with people, I just kind of leave them where they at. Like, eh.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. I think it may be a little bit of both, to be honest. His show, his content, it just doesn't hit me the same way.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person where if you're willing to do dirty the people closest to you,
then I can't.
Yeah, like, I can't.
I ain't shit to you. So if you can shit on people who you love, then motherfucker, I ain't shit, so you going double shit on me. And then, and on top of that, I think with Joe, is like, he's very intelligent, but I think his delivery is what turns me off. The delivery is just so just tasteless.
Right.
That is just like, I can't hear you. I can't even hear you.
Right. And it is interesting though, but I also think that's what has gotten him this far, that tasteless and kind of just messy delivery. And he's kind of tapped into that.
When you're 20, that's cute. Nigga, when you're in your 40s, it's like your demographic has evolved, so you have to evolve. And I think going back to Jay-Z, that's where it is, like, you have to evolve. We're not in our 20s anymore where you can still do that same shit. Just like you change your clothing style, you got to change your mentality, and you got to change how you handle people too. So if you're still doing the same shit, Trick Daddy, that you was doing when You Don't Know Nan came out, it's like... It's just like, bruh, like, relax.
It does make you wonder how long is it going to go. And I mean, for a while, he had the number one rated podcast when he had Rory and Maul. I don't know what his numbers are right now with these new cats he has with him. And I'm not going to doubt him. I mean, he has this talent of drawing people in and getting numbers.
I'm going to be real with you. To be a rapper, his vocabulary is fucking phenomenal. And I'm not trying to discredit rappers, but we know that a lot of rappers don't have the best speech or delivery that's excluding J. Cole and them. That's different. That's a whole different breed.
But people are forgetting though, although he didn't have the acclaim of most rappers, he's a true lyricist. So he does have the vocabulary. Like, people don't forget, he's from Slaughterhouse, which is a branch of Eminem. Basically, that whole crew was handpicked lyricists that they put together to go. So you have people in there who were literally respected, highly respected in the game as lyricists. Like, Joe Budden, he has bars, he has the lyrical delivery, like you said, and does have the vocabulary to go behind it. But it's like you said, it's also like there's a lot of messiness in there as well. And that's the part that kind of rubs some people the wrong way. But in this culture, he's benefiting off of that, right? Because we're in the culture of love and hip hop, you know, housewives, and he's benefiting off of that. And I'm not mad at this man. Get your money. But I also wonder, though, like, how long is this going to go on for?
Right.
Because we're also seeing trends that are happening, too, because what he happened? He had the daily struggle with the TV, with academics, that fell apart. Now this is falling apart. I'm seeing a trend, and it's not looking good. So So that's my worry. And I think it's indicative of what we talked about earlier. If you're willing to, you know, turn on the people closest to you, fam, like, I don't know how far that's going to get you. That's all I'm saying.
Because not too many people going to want to keep fucking with you.
There you go.
And there that's what it boils down to. Like, you can't say you a solid nigga, but do shiesty shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but going on to this Trick Daddy, we got a little off track for a little bit. But Trick Daddy is on viral status right now again because of an altercation he got into outside this club with these young ladies. So apparently the story is
young ladies old enough to be young enough to be his children.
That part. these young ladies, basically, he paid for them to get in the club. And apparently he felt some type of way that afterwards they didn't want to go back home with him. They wanted to do their own things and leave with different people. And that led to an altercation being caught on with cameras. And, you know, cameras are everywhere. So instantly up on social media goes crazy. But we're not really trying to focus and hone in on Trick Daddy himself. We know what he's about. We know the foolishness, et cetera, the lack of growth. We've talked about that. But I think this is indicative of a phenomenon that has been around for ages, is there's a sense of entitlement that men have once they extend a courtesy or a gift to women that to me has to kind of stop. So the most common trend is, hey, I buy you a drink. Now I feel obligated
to spend the rest of my night with you. No, absolutely fucking not.
Yes. So it is a phenomenon that to me has gotten out of hand, and so much so that these men are getting aggressive with these women once they turn down their drink. Or
that ain't nothing new. I remember when I was a teenager in DC and I was walking down the street minding my motherfucking business, okay, and dude hang out the window, try to talk to me, and I'm like, no thank you. Fuck you, bitch, and threw a fucking bottle at me.
Wow. Luckily,
I had cat-like reflexes.
Okay, ducking it.
That's how I was young, okay? Now niggas don't follow me if I actually hit me. I'm a little wild. Okay? But still, like, why can't you handle rejection? Why are men feeling like they're obligated? Because, and this is what irks me, right? And this is, fast forward to modern day, like a couple of weeks ago, this dude was like, ooh, I want you. When you going, let me take you out. Sir, just because you want me don't mean I want you. Why would you feel like I'm entitled to go out with you just because you want me? So fuck what I want, right?
Right.
Ugh, men.
Well, I think there's a lot of factors that go into play with this. The first thing that comes in my head is weak game. that's the first thing that comes to my head, weak game. And I call it weak game because you're basically trying to garner the attention of these young ladies by your material status, right? So because I have money or I can buy you certain material things or take you certain places, that should just automatically garner some attention from you. And to me, that is weak game, weak sauce. So that's the first thing that comes. The second is privilege. Like, who told you had this privilege? Who told you had this sense of entitlement? Like, at the end of the day, that's still a living, breathing human being who has the right to make their own decisions. And don't get me wrong, listen, I'm also coming from a privileged stance to where I've never ever had to buy a woman a drink. Like, even my wife, like, she's like, have you ever bought a woman? No. And that's not because I'm frugal. I am. But I also know, like, there's different ways. But you
also know how to have a conversation.
Yeah, there's different ways to come.
You know how to stimulate someone without having to get them intoxicated.
Right. Like, listen, call it what you want, but I have a great mouthpiece. So I believe that if I can garner your attention through conversation, that's all I need.
And that's all you need.
But like, I don't need to buy you a
drink. A lot of men, let me tell you something. A lot of men, I hate to say it, but a lot of people in general can't have stimulating conversations. They can't, right? So, and I've met a lot of men who would rather buy me stuff than actually spend time with me. Partner, that's on you. That's not on me, okay? You don't want to spend time with me. You don't want to get to know me. That's your problem, not mine. But you're offering me stuff, but don't ever offer me anything with strings attached.
There you go.
But here's the flip side, right? You have these men who offer things with strings attached, right? But then you get women who get to the point where, like, you know, I'm tired of the entitlement. I'm tired of you feel like I'm obligated. So now I don't want nothing from you. I'm not taking nothing from you. And then you get men who say, oh, well, now you're too independent. You act like you don't need a man. I didn't ruin this shit. Y'all ruined this shit. Because when I was taking shit from y'all, y'all thought I was obligated to sleep with you. No, I'm not obligated. But now I'm like, nah, I don't want nothing. I don't need you. No, I don't want you to do that. Nah, I'm good. Well, what, you don't need a man? You don't need, I like a woman make me feel like I'm needed. Sir, listen, it's too much.
Which sounds one like some want? Therapy.
Right. Which one y'all want? Y'all want us to take shit from y'all? Or y'all want motherfucking like someone who like, I don't get what y'all want. Cause y'all create these standards and y'all create these dynamics, but then y'all mad. So now that I'm independent and I'm not asking you for anything, you're mad because I'm not asking you for anything. But when I ask you for something, you feel like I'm obligated to sleep with you.
Right. And it's also a product of the environment. So I told my wife, right? Like, men and women, and I hate to generalize it, but for the most part, in my opinion, men and women go to the club for two different reasons, right? So Tony Baker, he's a comedian, and he was making a joke about this that I talk about all the time, but he was like, dudes don't ever get together and be like, yeah, I'm about to go dance in this club tonight. Like, you know, not straight dude.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, yeah, like the club and stuff, that's hunting ground for men. Right. Women, yes, they go to have a good time. They're about to have drinks with their girl. They're about to twerk. They want to, yeah, take pictures. They want to dance. You get what I'm saying? They're going for that. Men, for the most part, are going to hunt. Right. But I want to change that mentality because it's that hunting that gets them in trouble. That hunter's mentality that, oh, so I bought you a drink. So you're mine now. Right. You're my prey.
Like fishing and shit.
Exactly. Like, so I got you to tell me your name. So we're having a somewhat conversation. So now you can't speak to nobody else in the club. Oh. Like it's that like, hunter's mentality, married, right? It's that hunter's mentality.
I get some other nigga my number too. Like we're not married. You know how many niggas get my number and I still don't answer my phone for them. Like, get out of here.
Right. So funny story. So my wife went to, Fin and Feathers, the spot we went for my birthday, right? She went with her homegirl, whatever. They were chilling. She actually went to save her homegirl because she was in a date that wasn't going well. So she went to save her homegirl. And, you know, they're out there, they're chilling, whatever. And you know how dudes do. They see two beautiful ladies. Oh, well, let me buy you a drink or whatever. So this dude buy my wife a drink or whatever. And, you know, she's entertaining the conversation. It is what it is. And dude basically was talking to my wife, but was trying to hook his nephew up with my wife's friend.
Nephew?
Right. Okay. So, number one, like, your nephew ain't got the game to come up and have these conversations right now.
Men don't have game no more.
He's on the other side. Like, he can't come in.
He on the other side. Like, he not looking and shit. Like, look at
my right. So, he's buying both of them drinks, whatever, right? So, then this other dude rolls up, starts talking to my wife's homegirl. And naturally, she's talking. So dude who's talking to my wife gets in his feelings like, yo, I'm not about to buy you these drinks because if she's talking to somebody else, my wife's like, bro, we can buy our own drinks. Like, you can leave.
Get at him.
Right. Like, and my wife basically said, yo, if your nephew don't got the balls to come and approach her, why is she supposed to stand here all night and waste her time when she has other men who are willing to come up?
Why would I want a man who can't step to me?
Exactly. So it's just wild to me that these guys totally embrace that hunting mentality. And I think it's something that we need to break out of because these are human beings. Yo, bro, you could get so far with just having a conversation and getting to know somebody. And also understanding too, like, I hate to say it, you have the upper hand in the sense of they outnumber you. So if this conversation is not going well, cut your losses. Okay. All right, man. All right, sweetie. Yo, I'm going to let you have a good time. I'll holler at you later. And you keep it moving. Like,
and that's it. Like, first of all, men got to understand, stop coming on so strong. Okay. Because no one likes that. No, I just met you and you on my neck. Like, you're on my neck. I don't like that. Like, I already have my guards up because I'm out. Right. And as a woman going out, it's not just us getting dressed, but you also got to be aware of your surroundings. You got to motherfucking make sure you ain't getting raped, robbed, blah, 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 blah. Right. On top of the fact, it's like, okay, I'm going to have a good time. But here you come with all this motherfucking extraness because you done bought a fucking $8 drink. If you that hard up for $8, partner, I will promise you I will cash out you that shit. Like, it's never that serious. It's never that serious. And that's why I honestly don't even go to clubs and stuff like that. One, you know, it be past my bedtime. Music be loud and shit. But then two, it's like, that demographic in and of itself is not for me. You know what I'm saying? Because...
yeah.
I like to have conversations. I'm like you. Like, you can't even hook me without a conversation. I don't give a fuck how fine you look. You can't hook me without a conversation, and we can't talk if the music loud.
Mm-hmm. That's so facts, though.
it's like different environments, but I don't like that when men have this entitlement to feel like I'm obligated to give my time and energy to you. Like I had one dude, I gave him my number, and I guess the first day he called and texted me and I didn't answer. I'm like, nigga, one, I got life, okay? And then two, the next day he hit me up and he like, well, why the fuck would you give me your number if you ain't gonna call? I mean, if you ain't gonna answer. I beg your pardon? Nigga, I'm not required to respond to this shit. I just gave you my number before I even got in the car, you texted me. First of all, slow down, okay? And then I'm not gonna text you all fucking day. I got shit to do. Like, why do you feel like I'm obligated to give you that much of my time and I just met you?
Right. Oh my God. And also, we have to kind of be careful with these narratives that we hold on to and get to, because I've also seen it too. Like, some women say, oh, I can't even talk to you if you're not buying my drink or anything like that. Like, also, I have to say, like, be careful of the precedent that you set out there too. Absolutely. Because understand when a string is attached and when it's not. You feel me? Because if you're telling this man and instructing this person to buy you a drink, you're inviting him. You get what I'm saying?
Right, but you can't come in with expectations and think they're not going to come in with expectations.
There you go.
That's just how it works, go. Right? So, and I'm the type of person, honestly, all the dudes I've ever kicked it with that I genuinely like ain't never buy me shit until maybe like a month or two in.
Mm-hmm.
But I genuinely like them. And the ones who came out the rip spending money, I couldn't stand them. I'm be real with you because I'm like, you think you can buy me.
Right.
Like, and the fact that you think you could buy me, I'm going to let you blow all your fucking money until you realize you can't.
Yeah, it shows a lacking in an area. I personally think it's a lack of social skills, but it shows a lacking or overcompensation. And also, understand, too, the male ego. A lot of that, too, is a flex to other dudes in the club, too.
The most fragile thing on this earth
is right. Let me go bag the quote-unquote baddest chick in this club to let these dudes know I'm about, you know, whatever. Like, you know, a lot of it, too, is a flex and an ego letting other dudes know. But it's a whole part of that whole hunting, you know, mindset. And at the end of the day, if you are out there in that hunting mindset, you're not going to get anything tangible, anything fruitful. You're just going to get these one-night stands. You're going to get these women who are going to take advantage, like you said, and run your pockets. So you just have to honestly realize what you want out of that interaction and figure out what you're willing to deal with. Women, at the end of the day, God bless y'all. Y'all got to deal with so much stuff that I honestly could not fathom.
You just got to know what category to put a motherfucker in, right? And I tell niggas in a minute, I ain't there use a nigga who ain't intent on using me first. So when, and listen, I ain't new to this, I'm true to this. I bit the block a few times. So I know what a motherfucker who actually likes me and a motherfucker who just want a motherfucker stroke his ego to be with me. Like, no.
So, I'm gonna go out with my wife and buy a woman a drink, see how that go. See what it's all about. Never experienced it. You know what I'm saying? Just want to do it, see what happens.
The funny thing is I know you because you'll probably buy a woman a drink and then two seconds, you'll be like, all right, have a good night. All right, take care.
She is. Take care.
Like, if the conversation ain't lit, then I'm like, I'm out. No. And then first of all, it's going to take you a fucking forever to even find who you want to buy a drink for because I know how picky your ass is.
Don't come for me. This is not what we're doing here.
You real selective. You like,
I like what I like.
I know. That's why you and your wife just need to stay home. Okay.
We do. It is. But guys, thank you so much for joining us on the House and Tristan podcast. We really appreciate it. You can listen to the podcast wherever, every platform, wherever podcasts are downloaded and streamed. Please subscribe to our podcast. Let us know how we're doing by rating our podcast as well. Hit us up on our social media. We're on IG as the Hans and Tristan podcast. So please follow us. Let us know what you guys are thinking. Also, we're on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel called the Hans and Tristan podcast. Everything is called the Hans and Tristan podcast, in case you're wondering. It is a thing. So please check out our YouTube channel. We post our podcast on there sparingly. You can see our beautiful faces, Tristan's beautiful hair. There's a couple of episodes where Janet makes an appearance. You never know what's going to happen. So please check out the channel. We appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.